I want to concentrate on those last three verses where Herod sent to destroy all the babies, in the boy babies in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem and around there, in the hope of destroying the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. So Matthew knew that his gospel had to go out to all the world. He quotes Jesus as saying, "And this gospel must be preached to all nations in all the world, and then comes the end." So that's when Matthew wrote this, he had in mind that what he was writing would be read or heard by millions. And it has been read and heard by generations down through history. And in this chapter, one of the great truths that he presents is that when Jesus was born, he was born the King of the Jews. That's what the wise men said in verse 2. It says, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" So this message about the identity of Christ is sent out to the world, that Jesus was born the King of the Jews. And we know that Matthew said a lot more about him as well, that he was the Emmanuel, God with us, and that he was also the Saviour of his people, and so on. But Matthew tells us, and only Matthew tells us, that Herod saw the arrival of the King of the Jews as a threat to himself. Herod felt threatened. He was king of Judea, king at the time, not for much longer because he was about to die, but he didn't know that. So in his last few months of life, he sent and murdered all the boys around, in and around Bethlehem. He didn't know who this Messiah was, but he hoped to destroy him by killing them all. So that's what Matthew tells us. Now, the thing is, we need to ask the question, why did Matthew want the whole world to know about this? Okay? Why did Matthew think that for the many generations to come, and all around the world, everyone who heard the gospel or read his gospel should know about this murder of the infants? And the answer is found in verse 17 and 18. The reason why this was so important was that it was fulfilling a prophecy of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, just before we go any further, it's worth stopping and not missing the fact that in the Old Testament, which was written, I guess, between 1500 and 400, centuries before Christ, in the Old Testament, there are many accurate predictions concerning Jesus Christ. Here's one. In Jeremiah 31, there is a prediction, and 600 years before Christ was born, God was telling people what was going to happen. You get in the prophet Isaiah and Micah, two other prophets who prophesied 100 years before this, you also get other accurate predictions. And not only that, you can go back to the writings of King David 1,000 years before Christ, and David was already predicting, because God had shown him, what would happen in the life of Jesus. Even to details, in his Psalm 22, he says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." He said, they cast lots for my clothes. Detail, amazing detail, was being told, and in that case, 1,000 years before it happened in the life of Christ. And this is another example of a prediction or a prophecy, a foretelling that took place according to the word of God. And really, this is very important to you and me, because this is one of the proofs that God has given to us that his word is true and that Jesus is the Messiah, the Saviour. I put it to you, the fact that hundreds of predictions made centuries before all were fulfilled in the life of Christ, does that not tell you that when God spoke and his servants wrote down his word, it shows you that they were speaking the truth because God revealed it to them? It also is God's witness that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, is truly the Messiah, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. This is, if you like, one of God's signatures to the gospel. Take note of it. One way he assures you and me that if you are trusting in Christ, if you believe in Christ, and if you are following him, then God gives you this assurance: you're not mistaken, you're not deceived. So there is this note in the gospel. These are the true words of God, worth being trusted. But no, this morning we need to go on and ask the question again, or a bit further. And the question is this: why does Matthew, I'll put it this way, why does Matthew take us back to Jeremiah? And beyond that, why does Jeremiah predict the death of the infants? Why does Jeremiah prophesy? Why does he point to this event? And really, this morning, there are two reasons why Jeremiah foretold the slaughter of the infants. So, these were his reasons. One, the first reason, go back to it. Jeremiah was showing God's people where sin leads. Okay? Where does sin lead? When a man or a people sin against God, where does that lead them? Where does the path go? Now, let me put the question away. When we walk away from God, when we despise his word, what is the end of that road? Okay, that's the first thought that Jeremiah has in his mind. Now, if you read the book of Jeremiah, it's a very, very big book, and it takes ages to read it, but if you read it, you will see that Jeremiah, part of Jeremiah's job was to show God's people, Israel, at that time, that they were sinning against him. Part of his work was to point them, to make them realize that they've sinned. Listen to words like this. Excuse me. Right at the beginning of his message, he says this: thus says the Lord. This is chapter 2, verse 5. Thus says the Lord to Israel: what injustice or what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me and have followed the Baals, followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord? Now that's the essence of sin. To walk away from God and not even ask the question, where is the Lord? To go after other gods or other idols. He says, excuse me about this. He says to them, therefore, I will bring charges against you. I will bring, that's God speaking. I will bring charges against you. And then Jeremiah, a little bit later on, these memorable words, listen. Most of you will probably know these words. Chapter 17, verse 1. Listen. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond it is engraved on the tablet of their heart. Jeremiah, one of Jeremiah's sad duties was to bring God's people's attention to their sinfulness. And he also tells them what the result of their sinfulness will be. Listen to this. They shall die gruesome deaths. The murder of the infants. They shall not be lamented, they were, nor shall they be buried. But in these verses, he's saying that when a man or a people sins against God, it brings death. It brings condemnation, judgment. Now, Jeremiah has been called by somebody the weeping prophet. He didn't enjoy his ministry. It wasn't a joyful work for him to tell people of their sins and to warn them of the wrath of God coming upon them. Listen to just one more verse that he reads. He says, this is in his Lamentations, another book. He says, my eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured out on the ground. In other words, I'm being sick because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. Because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the city. Can you see the great burden that Jeremiah had in his ministry? He says this, when you forget God, when you go your own way, when you scorn his word, then you offend God, and he will bring judgment upon you for it. And in our verse, in Jeremiah 31:15, he is foreseeing some of the great sorrow that will come to a people that perpetually sinned against him. On the service sheet, I put down the reading from 2 Chronicles 36. And if you take time to read that at home, you'll see how the writer says, look, he says that Israel and then Judah, they just kept disobeying God. They would not stop. And it says there that he sent his prophets, it says, rising up early and warning them. What did they do? They mocked the messengers of God. They would not listen. So, first of all, the one reason why Jeremiah prophesies this is to bring the attention of Israel then and Judah then, but also us, on the great folly of sinning against God. But then, secondly, Jeremiah had another reason for referring to it. And it was because he also had a message of hope for a sinful people. One of the great things about the Bible is that when God makes a man realize he's a sinner, he doesn't just leave him there. He then points him to the way of salvation, the way of escape. And Jeremiah did this. Listen, this is what we read in Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah. We've read this. Lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. What is the next word that God gives to them? He says, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. What does he mean? Stop crying. Stop crying. Why? For your work, that means your trouble, I think, your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And listen, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. Now, that's a verse that needs another sermon. But he's saying, God is going to give you a reason to stop crying. Stop crying. And these amazing words, your children will come back. Well, think about that another time. You see, in this same chapter, Jeremiah says to them, he says this, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. In other words, God calls us to himself with great love and pity. But listen, again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, says the Lord. You will be rebuilt. So God says to his people, when their sins have brought them down into a terrible mess and great misery, he says, but I will come because I love you, and I will build you up again. And Jeremiah had that message as well, that God is the one who builds up his people. Now, Matthew is telling us, do you know this? This message of Jeremiah was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In the coming of Jesus Christ, this is what you get. So, just to be too long this morning, the word fulfilled in Matthew, in one sense it means this, that God's wrath with sin has been fully satisfied. It's as if he's saying that at this time when the babies are being put to death by Herod, this terrible time of sin and suffering, but God has had enough of it. It's got to come to an end. And you ask the question, Matthew then, how is God ending this time of sin and judgment? And his answer is, there in the birth of the King of the Jews. There in the birth of Jesus Christ. And now let me ask you some questions before we finish. Let me ask you this question. When and how was the wrath of God against sinners fully satisfied? When was that fulfilled? Well, the answer to that question is coming. It is in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in many places that he took the sins of his people and he suffered the curse of the broken law in their place. In their place. And Matthew is leading us to the cross. He, in his mind, his gospel, he's writing his gospel, but he's taking us into chapter 26 and 27. The crucifixion. The solution, if you like, God's answer is in the crucifixion. Jesus Christ has been called the sin bearer. In another place, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I say, it was only then, when Jesus died at Calvary, that the wrath of God and the justice of God, the justice of a holy God, only then was it satisfied. Matthew has already told us, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. And what we need to know, what Matthew is also going to tell us, is that Jesus Christ is the one who builds up his people. The promise through Jeremiah I will build you again, was kept in Jesus Christ. He said to Peter and the others, he said, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And you ask the question now, how did the children come back? How did Jesus Christ build the church? Well, he builds the church by saving sinners and adding them to the church. It's when a man or woman, boy or girl, is brought to the knowledge of their sin, so that they are left marked by that reality, and they turn to look for a way of deliverance, and the Lord turns them to trust in His Son. Then when a person, if you like, is born again of the Holy Spirit and becomes a believer, then that person is added to the church and Christ is building His church. Jeremiah goes on, and I won't spend time this morning, but he goes on in the next few verses and draws attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen just to this. In those days and at that time, he says, I will cause to grow up for David, 1,000 years before, a branch of righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. You see, Matthew wrote his gospel in a way to say to us, don't deal with your sin by denying it. Don't deal with your godlessness by pretending it's not there. Don't deny it. Instead, bring the burden to the Saviour. Don't try to save yourself, but come to the beloved and precious Son of God. Amen.